This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinnidal Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Talo for lover and welcome to the very first Friday edition of Neat and Footy. If this is your first time, you're tuning into the show, it's the place where we celebrate all the talented Pacifica athletes in the Rugby League and Rugby Union world. My name is Sam Wykes and alongside me is the league to my union, the perfect partner, the Cook Island enforcer, Tinira Arona T.
Ooh.
I didn't have to wait 7 days to see you.
Kia ora, mate. That introduction gave me a bit of chills, like that, eh? I liked it.
Perfect partner.
Well, everyone who is listening, welcome to Neesian Footy Fridays, where this is our first Friday show. So we run it back on Mondays, and we envisioned this last year, Sammy.
Yeah, we did, and we're here now, and I'm looking forward to it.
We will be reviewing upcoming games in both NRL, NRLW, and also the Super Rugby, but we've added two members to our team who will be covering and helping us with the reviews. I'll start with the first one, Totai Kefu.
Childhood hero.
Rugby union legend. And then we also have one of the best, if not the best, NRLW player, Sala Tongatuki.
Yeah, I'd hate to play against her. What a beast.
And don't forget, we'll still be adding that Neesian flavour to our Friday shows where we'll speak about food.
That's important.
We'll still compete because we love competing.
Yeah, that's not important.
Tipping comps. And I'm really looking forward to it, Sammy.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, if you're at home or in the car, strap yourselves in because we have the double show, the Michael Dublé, as they call him somewhere else. But anyway, here on Neesian Footy, so let's get straight into it.
Hi, I'm Alicia Lefofogo-Osilio from the Australian Women's Sevens team, and you're listening to Neesian Footy.
Yes, we're going to kick off with some footy news.
I'll kick us off.
You're going to go first?
I will kick us off.
Wow, that's aggressive.
Because this is huge news across not only Neesian, Pacific, Samoa, but also the NRL, where superstar Stephen Crichton has been named the captain for the Canterbury Bulldogs NRL team.
Yeah, been given the skip, is he?
He has been there for a few weeks and he is already now the lead horse, mate. That is a huge achievement for Stephen Crichton and his family. They should be very, very proud.
Mate, it's obviously huge for him, as you said, and his family. He's recognised for his leadership both on and off the field. But T, what's your actual, like, in terms of high performance and thinking about, he's just moved over. You mentioned he's only been there a few weeks. Is it the right move to just put the C next to his name straight away? Not that he doesn't deserve it or he doesn't have the right character for being a captain, but it's just like, does he need that added pressure, like being the marquee player, then all of a sudden, you know, you're going to be the skipper as well?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. There is some added pressure to having that C on your chest. He does have a close relationship with the coach, Cameron Serraldo. But there's a saying that we have out in Western Sydney, leaders lead. And Stephen Crichton has been leading his whole NRL career. You think back to his very first game, he ran off the bench and first touch scores a try.
Yeah, very true.
Led in Origin big moment games, grand final big moments. So I think the way that he leads on the field, he just has that aura about him, and that's how he lead. Leaders lead, and he leads by action.
Yeah, I hope that's the case because you just, you know, we were talking about off air. Just, you know, we've been in that position of being skipper before, and that weight on your shoulders that you can get, especially where the Bulldogs have been the last.
Wait, we gave our examples, but.
Why am I even comparing myself?
But we don't play like Stephen Crichton, mate.
That's a terrible example. But you know what I mean. Like
he leads by his actions, so he can back himself.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry, poor example.
We were talking about while we're here, let's talk about our examples. I probably got to captain the Wakefield Trinity on three occasions, and I loved it, but that pressure, because I wasn't playing the best footy myself, yeah, I really felt that, and I kind of didn't want it after a few games. And I think you shared the same kind of experience.
Well, I filled in for at the Western Forces, captain, and the Force hadn't won the very first game of the competition in 10 years or something, whatever that was back then. And we played against the Waratahs. I captained that game. We won. I was like, mate, this is easy. We're on fire. Then we went on to lose a 7 straight after that. So,
and you were the captain.
I was the captain. It wasn't for me. I was like, get out of here. It's hard. But yeah, back to Stephen Crichton. Obviously, he's a leader. We wish him well. And I hope, because I'm a Bulldogs fan, I hope he brings the Bulldogs up to where they should be.
Well, speaking of Stephen Crichton, his old team, the Penrith Panthers, are now heading over to the UK, or they're in the UK now, playing for the World Club Challenge against the Wigan Warriors. A number of Nigerian superstars in both teams. We all know the Penrith Panthers ones. We'll touch on them again with Salah. But over in the Wigan Warriors camp, there's two Islanders, or two Nigerian players in that team. My good friend, Willie Issa, and also
Dommy's boy. Hey, you went to school together with him. Same year,
grew up together. We went to St. Dominic's together, the school Nathan Cleary went to as well. And he was actually our school prefect, Willie was. So great friend of mine, great human being. And then we also have Patrick Mungo. He's a beast over there. He plays out in the front row. Believe he used to play for South Sydney Rabbitohs as well. So two boys to watch out for in the Wigan Warriors.
Rugby Union, just recently, there's been a late change for the Waratahs leading into round one for their game against the Queensland Reds on Saturday. Lalakai Fuketi, their Tongan centre, he's been a leader for their team for a long time. He's played for the Wallabies, injured his neck. Training yesterday.
Only yesterday.
So that's fresh news out from the New South Wales Waratahs.
When do they play?
They play on Saturday night against the Reds.
Yesterday, Thursday. Was there a contact session yesterday?
Would have been, I'm assuming it was.
Hope it's not too...
Well, he's such a great human being. He's a leader for that team. Hopefully it's nothing too serious and we get to see him back up and about very soon. But that's going to hurt the Waratahs with their preseason form at the moment. It hasn't been great. And to miss a leader like Lalakai, it's going to hurt them a lot, and we'll see how they galvanise. But they'll still have someone like Langi Gleeson, the Fijian number 8, Mark Nwanganitawase. He's on the wing. Obviously, he'll be heading over to the Roosters the following year. But that's news out of the Waratahs camp. But some other beautiful news is the Pinina Pacifica rugby team. Earlier this month, the Australian government and Rugby Australia and Oceania announced their commitment to Pacific women's rugby. And let's have a listen to how they're preparing for their first game tomorrow. Nice little Tongan hymn there from the front row club, they're calling it. So also known as the FRU, the Front Rowers Union.
Are these all Tongan?
Nah, they're all mixed from the Pacific. So from the combine that they've put together, it's a combined Pacifica team that will play in the preseason games for the Super W season that's coming up. So that's such positive news coming out of the Pacific, that there's genuine pathway opportunities for our talent over in Samoa, Tonga, Fiji, the Cook Islands, everywhere across the Pacific. They now have an opportunity to showcase their talent over here in the Super W for Australia in the preseason games to hopefully, eventually get into the Super W competition. So that's great news for women's sport in the Pacific.
Unreal news. Well, that's enough from us. Let's get to our expert, Sammy. And first up, it's time to look ahead to the big weekend in rugby league with Salah Tongatuki.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Salah Tongatuki.
Sammy, we're about to introduce our first new member of the team for Friday, Nigerian Footy. Please welcome a Samoan and NRLW superstar. Salah won a premiership and the Karen Murphy medal for the best on ground in the 2021 Roosters victory. She has represented New South Wales, Fetu Samoa, and Australia, and was the Tigers' best and fairest in their first ever season in 2023. Sala, welcome to Nijin Footy.
Thanks, T, for having me on board. And Sam.
Yeah, don't forget about me. I'm a big part of this. Nah, I know it's a rugby league section. I don't know what I'm talking about, but hey, awesome to have you on, to have your insights.
Since the men's NRL season is still a week away, let's chat about you and introduce you to the audience. Tell us a bit about your footy journey and what was your first footy memory?
So I started playing, my first junior rugby league club was with the Glenmore Park Brumbies. And a lot of people question, obviously I'm from the area, and what from the area looks like, it's just more like around Mandurah at the Western Sydney. And a lot of people question, why didn't you play for St. Mary's? And at that time, St. Mary's wasn't actually hosting any girls teams. So Glenmore Park Brumbies actually just jumped on board and put in a nine aside. And also for me, like, my background, so I'm Samoan, and my parents are a little bit old school. So my dad was very strict on making sure we were at church on Sundays, and I was only allowed to play a sport that would be played on a Saturday. So rugby league was definitely out the window. A lot of clubs or the district and that would host a lot of the girl games on a Sunday, so the fields would only be accommodating for the girls' games on a Sunday. And on a Saturday, it was just be all for the boys. So I definitely couldn't even look in that direction, and I didn't even know rugby league was a thing, to be honest, as well. And then only up until I had my older brother who passed away. So he committed suicide in prison, and my very last memory was just having a conversation with him, was just him telling me, oh, you know, there's rugby league. He heard it from a friend and said, oh, you know, I was telling him I didn't really like netball, and he was just encouraging me, go give it a go. And I had to do it behind my parents' backs, which I needed a bit of support there because they were everything. They were the people that would drive me to and from training. So I was being a little cheeky person and just jumped on Facebook, and I saw a cousin of mine. She put her hand up to go and coach the very first female team at Glenmore Park Brumbies, just coincidentally. So then, yeah, after my brother passed away, I came across it on Facebook, and I reached out and I said, I really want to give this a go. I was really pushing for it, and she knew that I wasn't allowed to, but then we sort of came up with a lie, and I don't encourage this to any kids, but we said we're just going to go netball training, and we didn't go netball training. We went and trialled. I went to her training sessions, trialling out just what rugby league was all about, the fundamental skills, and we had Shaylee Bent's dad, Paul Bent. So he was actually the very first mentor, but he appointed the coaching role to my cousin, V, just so that it felt more like a female space, like a, if that made sense. So just for us girls to feel comfortable too. So, yeah, I pretty much just played with Glenmore Park Brumbies when I was 17 years old. And then the following year, Harvey Norman was introduced. And surprisingly, Glenmore Park Brumbies jumped on board with that. And then I played my first game against Samoa Minor, and that's when the whole NRW was rolling out, and they were scouting. And then they were like, it was only top 24. So for the NRL boys, they do top 30, and for the girls, we do top 24. And I was getting phone calls like from Dean Witters. So he just gave me a heads up saying, hey, Sala, we've been watching a bit of footy, and got Samoa Matafa. She's out, one of our scouts now, just looking out for some players. And I think it was at the back end of that Harvey Norman season, I had played against my mum, and I had forgotten about what Dean had told me, that, you know, you've got this person that's scouting, and that was out of the books. Like, I was just going there to play footy, have some fun with friends. And then Roosters were actually short. They needed one more player, and they're 24. And then I happened to get the phone call, and got put right in there. And I guess I've taken the opportunity with both hands. I started playing as a halfback and a winger. And then when I got picked up for NRW, they picked me up as a centre. And then so I was just sort of making my way in, like everyone does. Centre, second row, then, yeah, middle. And I'm currently playing 13 lock or prop. I don't really care where I get put, to be honest. I think I just, it's a hard work, hey? Like, you get so addicted to it. And the, yeah, it's that's pretty much me playing for my family, and it's the more you have purpose in why you're playing, I think you play a bit longer. And, I'm grateful the women's contracts for NRW, it's getting a lot better. Every year it's increasing. We get that question asked a lot. You know, I know some people look at it as just more of a career, and some look at it as like a fun thing to do on a weekend. But I'm keen to see how the game goes in the next 5 years. Be nice to hopefully see it at full time for a lot of young girls. I know I sacrificed a lot. Everyone sacrificed a lot, sorry. And even NRL boys till today, they're doing the same thing too. Like, it's not just NRW. NRL boys, like, in the top 30, some still do trades work and then head straight into training, stuff like that. Thanks.
Wow. Big clap.
That's outstanding. That's a what crazy a story. Just to play rugby league and to hear that backstory, where you are today, that's an amazing, amazing story.
With I know the Glenmore Park Brumbies, that's where Joseph Suoliti played as well.
Isaiah Katoa?
I don't even know. I know Isaiah Katoa, so I remember him. He was really little.
Yeah.
He was just young, running around, kicking a ball.
Yeah, Sione, his older brother, was playing there.
Yeah, that's it. And because Sione's partner, Jade, Grant, so we played together, actually.
Oh, there you go.
Very first team, and honestly, she's a really great player. I hope she's listening. I hope she puts the boots back on because, man, she was just so good to watch, and she's just very supportive. And I know Siona's very lucky to have her in his corner. So, I hope she does change her mind and
Siona had four kids with her. That's why she had to give it up early.
I just want to ask. I want to ask one question around your family and what was the reaction that your parents had when they found out you were playing rugby league without them knowing?
Bro, honestly, like, I was nervous, but it was White Sunday. So when my first season, I made the grand final, and I was in my mum's acting class for her White Sunday, her skit. And I actually, it was either go to perform it. So I don't know why, but grand final day landed on White Sunday. And I opted and went out to play rugby league grand final. And it didn't help. I lost my grand final. And then I got a hiding. And then after that, I've been open to my parents. And I'll be honest with you. Like I said, my parents are very old school. They don't have really great English. So they're very accustomed to the way they were brought and the living in the islands of Samoa. So growing up, I sort of understood how everything unfolded and why it happened that way. I see some kids have it easy, but, you know, their parents probably have had some leniency growing up, and my parents probably didn't, and it's been hard. So I sort of copped them. But I'm glad I did what I did to break a bit of that, the barriers in within my family. And even now, my younger siblings that we've adopted, they feel more free to do things without having fear. It's brought me and my parents, all of us, closer. We're more open to each other, and we just communicate better now. But the communication is definitely something that we took out from this whole journey. So, definitely wasn't a good reaction, to be honest. So, I made up for it. I made up for it.
Well, I wanted to ask on that. I know you definitely made up for it. There was a really heartwarming post that you'd done. I think it might have been last year, where you were in a position to purchase your family and your mum and dad a house. What was that moment like for yourself?
My heart, it's even to this day, it's very full. Like, it's the best thing I think anyone could ever do for their parents. Every time I come across some random in the streets, and they would recognize that I am that person that's done that for my parents, they would come over and I guess they just say really nice things and that. But for me, I forget how much it's really impacted. Like, others want to do that, but I was inspired. Fun fact, I was inspired by Stephen Crichton and Brian Tuttle, what they were doing. I wasn't seeing it happen often. I guess some are just too humble and they weren't putting it out there, exposing it. But the boys and how they just how they did things and that, I was like, I really want to do that with an NRW contract. I really want to make that come true. And that's where it was really hard for me, the decision of leaving the Sydney Roosters she comes to the West Tigers. Money's never been a thing for me. Like I said, like I grew up in, and I think to yourself, you would understand this, like Sam and I, when you grow up in like I guess the Bronx, but for us, we say like cows and commissions and that, you sort of grow up like just being more grateful and seeing how my parents were just be grateful. Like I felt so, sorry, I've gone a bit off topic. So when I relocated to live in Maroubra and I was living in this nice place, the Roosters were helping me with renting and that, and I just felt bad every night I went to sleep knowing that the conditions of the house my parents were living in till that time, I really felt bad and I was like, I've always had this goal where I really want to buy a house. But then I remember too in the conversation I had with my late brother, He every time we visited him in jail, sorry, for those who don't know, my brother that passed away, he was in jail and committed suicide in jail. So every time we visited him, we would always hear him say, like, you know, I can't wait to come out, mum and dad, like always reassuring my parents, don't worry, you know, I'm gonna come out, I'm gonna start a tattoo business. Like he'd learned tattooing inside. So then he was like, I'm gonna use the shed that my dad had built at the back of our housing's house. Mind you, you're actually not meant to allow to build anything you want in the back of your house. It's not our property. But my dad being freshy just went and built this little hut at the back. I don't know if anyone in Mandurah remembers, but he would try and bring, he had this little gym. He was like, everyone come over. Like after our touch footy game on the Triggy Hill. And I'm like, who the hell are these people? Like I was this young girl. My dad was just so funny. But anyways, like my brother remembered that. That was there, and he said every time we visited, I want to make sure I come out and start this business, and I'm going to buy you a house with that business. He didn't obviously get the chance to do that, so then I sort of used that as a way to push myself in big moments, playing rugby league, and obviously he was the backbone of why I sort of went for rugby league. And it's funny, in that grand final where did we play? At Redcliffe. I think before I made the break, that run break in the middle, I was actually gassed and I'd play beyond the minutes I was told I was going to play. And Isabel Kelly turned around with Yasmin Clydesdale and they were both like to me, so do you remember what you said to us about your brother and that and why you're playing rugby league? You know, your dad's out there watching. Little thing like that, like it really pushed me and I said, oh, give me the ball. I went with it and yeah, it was, and even now like that probably is like that moment of rugby league is, so it still sits at the back of my head. I remember it so vividly because for someone like that to turn around and they're gassed as well and for them to remember like my why, I really appreciate it so much and it's kept us girls really close. And at the start of that season, we actually came together in the camp and I think every club does it, but we were just being open and vulnerable with each other, understanding why we were doing things and that, so we could respect each other's differences and stuff like that, because we all come from different backgrounds, different upbringings. So it was really nice to see even some of the girls from the countryside. I didn't know how hard they had to do it too. So like I said, everyone's got different stories and that, so and I'm open to those. I love that stuff. So, yeah, I guess, back to what you asked me was just, my parents are so happy. Every day I go back. I love going back home now. And there's just a smile on their face. And my dad comes home from work like, you know, hi. Like, my dad's never been like that. Every time my dad came home, it's like he had just down buzz on him. Like, oh, yeah, work. I'm going to sleep. But, yeah, I wanted to make sure that they had a home where it felt like home and they could come back to and just feel more relaxed. But, yeah.
Oh,
really, best thing I've ever done.
To be honest, it makes sense. Like hearing your background story on why you play the game of rugby league, it just makes sense how you are as a player on the field, an absolute beast. And we are looking forward to seeing you bump everyone off again, those big barnstorming runs throughout the year when you come back from your injury. But speaking of footy, let's get to the footy news now with rugby league. Yeah. We're still probably a week away from round one, but there are the preseason games going on so far. We have the Melbourne Storm heading over to Fiji to play against the Newcastle Knights. You know, taking a game over to the beautiful motherlands, over to the islands, you know, how does that sit with you seeing something like that the NRL are doing?
Honestly, like, it's big for the community, the people. I remember when I went back to the islands and I played there, I only got to play there once, but and it was so small, but I knew how much that little moment had impacted them as a wider community. I would remember like going through the streets and they'd be talking. It gives them something to talk about because not every one of them has like socials, hey, like they don't have Wi-Fi, like internet access to that kind of resources. So it's nice to finally have something live for them to watch. I can't imagine the Fijians and I'm going off their heads now in the stands, cheering on the boys. I know the boys are going to love it. I know you boys like would understand as a player's perspective when you're out there in on the field, everyone's yelling and it gets hectic that you don't even know that it's like a dream thing coming true all over again because that's how insane and loud it is with the crowds. And I guess for the people, they'd probably have so much pride and they might have, it might be some of the boys' family sitting in the stands and just a lot of joy that comes from it. Like, I know they do it tough with plantations out there and, you know, just the little sacrifices they're probably doing, waking up early to go out to farming and that. But that they're going to, the parents or the family are going to be like, that was all worth it for that moment to see their grandchild or their little nephew, niece, or nephew, sorry, I should just say nephew, their nephew, you know, go and run out there and represent Fiji. Might not be, you know, their international team or whatever. I know it's a trial and that, but I know it's going to bring a lot of joy and a lot of pride and that. Them being proud. So yeah, it's going to be massive. Can't wait.
Yeah, I think there will be a lot of family members from both Tui Kamikamitha and also the Saifiti brothers that will be playing for the Newcastle Knights.
Oh, they're Fijian as well,
yeah,
aren't they?
So there'll be a big community over there supporting our NRL players. But also on the other side of the world, you mentioned Brian To'o and Stephen Crichton. Obviously, Stephen Crichton not at the Penrith Panthers anymore. But the Penrith Panthers are playing the Wigan Warriors in the UK for the World Club Challenge. What are your thoughts on that game and who do you think will win this one?
Well, I'm going to back the Penrith Panthers.
Of course, of course.
I think it can go either way, to be honest. The boys haven't played a couple of games and that's since the Pacific Championships, so... I know it's massive to have some games before that because it hits different when you've got match fitness and stuff like that. So, but I probably see the Penrith Panthers already, the performance team, I'm ensuring that they've got that into their trainings. But I'm looking forward to see Taylor May.
Yep.
I'm actually looking forward to him coming back and playing because I've seen that he was in the mix of their starting. So I haven't seen him play in a while, I believe.
Well, it's been 1 year since he last played. He got... done his ACL injury in this game last year against the St. Helens Saints at Penrith Panthers, which is, they lost the World Club Challenge last year. Yeah, they're heading over to Wigan's home ground this year and, hopefully they can get the job done and bring home that World Club Challenge.
Well, they lost last year, so it gives all the more reason why they would be pushing. And they're a competitive club. They're not going to go up there and obviously just give it easy to the Wigan Warriors, you said. So, yeah, it'll be a good game to watch. I don't know if it's live stream.
Yeah, it'll be live, but it'll be very interesting to see where Taylor May plays because you've got Sonia Turuva, who had a huge year last year, another Fijian as well. And
he got Rookie of the Year as well. Not just for the club, but Earl as well, the Dally M. So.
Yeah, it's Sonia and then also Brian Tottle on the other wing. So, yeah, I think Taylor May has been training at centre.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. You've also got Sonny Luke, who's back in there. Actually, it was good to watch him play a bit of the NRL games, Ashi, coming off the bench.
Yep.
I know that he's got a lot to prove for himself, so this game would definitely be good for all of them. It is. I know it's a club challenge, but a world club challenge, but I know those players that are just missing out on the Penrith's 18-week weekly selections, I know they'd be pushing for it in the rest of their top 30. So it'd be nice to see some of them, and a lot of them actually Polynesian players.
There's plenty there.
Yeah, there's plenty there. There's plenty of depth at the Penrith Panthers. So you're right, they're going to get some game time, and it's a long season. They lost last year, the very first one, and then they've gone on to win the big one. So we'll be looking forward to seeing what the result is of that game. But Sulla, we really appreciate your time coming on and sharing some of your background story. We look forward to every Friday having you on. And when the NRLW season comes along and NRLW kicks off, We'll get more of an insight on the footy chat. So outstanding work. We'll see you next week.
Thank you so much.
Hey, this is Digby Iwani, and this is Nation Footy that you're listening to.
Recipe of the week.
Oh, so our new segment, Recipe of the Week, where one of us will be coming in with a Nijin recipe.
Oh, and I thought you were going to actually say come in with some food from the recipe. So it's just the recipe alone, is it?
Well, you can bring some food in if you want, but...
So it's your go this week, you haven't brought anything in?
You know what, mate? Did you not notice this morning I was holding two big bottles?
Yeah, I did. Don't G me up here.
And did you really thought I'd come in without my own recipe, mate?
Stop it.
And then you see me grab two cups out the kitchen and not one question was asked, Sammy.
Have you brought it in?
I've decided to share my otai recipe with our listeners and yourself. And so this recipe actually comes from a good friend of mine in the UK, Kalepi Danginoa. Where
big biceps.
Yes, huge biceps.
Huge biceps.
Biggest biceps in rugby league.
Oh,
now, if you have been to the UK during the summertime, it is hot, very, very hot. And one day we were in the UK, we're playing for Wakefield Trinity at the time. I'm just shaking it up.
Oh, and you have. I thought you were lying.
No.
So you do have two
cups. And then I asked him for his recipe. I made this recipe and my kids absolutely loved it because over there it's bloody, like it's hot and all the buildings, they're all built to keep the heat in. So when it's summer in the UK, you want a refreshing drink like otai. So this ingredients, it involves half a watermelon, a can of crushed pineapple, some light cream.
Oh, tick, 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 tick.
Some shaved coconut.
Oh, tick again.
And some ice cubes. And then you can sweeten it. I've actually added my own secret sweetener. So usually people will use sugar. I actually added a bit of honey in this. So
that's different. I've heard of people using sugar. I've heard of people dropping ice cream in there. Some other bits and pieces to sweeten it up. But honey.
I'll just hand that over now. There's some big ice cubes there.
That's all right. There are wooden ships, there are metal ships, but the best ships are friendships. Cheers. Oh, you like that?
Cheers. I like it. I'll use that one.
You use that one. Oh, that could be the new secret ingredient, honey. I can taste that in there.
So the trick is too, with the watermelon, what Kalepi told me, you have to get a fork and you grate it with a fork. So there's like watermelon juice going all over my bench, but you're grating it into a big bucket, grate it all the way down till it's all the watermelon's grated into the bucket, and then add your crushed pineapple, add your cream, light cream. Make sure it's light, everyone, because we don't want to add those extra kilos.
Mate, if you're gonna do it, just do it. That's what we're here for.
And then add the honey, give it a nice mix, and the ice cubes, and then we add the coconut flakes after.
T, that is a 10 out of 10. A massive pass, mate. Well done.
Big shout out to my Tongan mate over in, he plays for Hokea now, Kalepi Danginoa.
Bulivinaka, Lotte Tungiri here, and you're listening to Nijin Footy.
T, as I said, it's an absolute privilege to have an icon of rugby union joining us each week. The man, Tote Kefu, is a Tongan Australian who played for the Wallabies 60 times and over 100 100 caps for the Queensland Reds. He's also coached the Ikaletahi men's team, and he is now joining us every Friday to give us his insights on rugby union. Tote Kefu.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Kefu! Tote Kefu!
With Tote Kefu.
Kef, welcome to the show, mate. Sorry about the marbles in my mouth earlier. I'm just a little bit nervous when I have to introduce guests like yourself. So, mate, thanks for your time.
Hey, absolute pleasure to be on your show.
Well, it's our show now, so don't worry about that. But let's kick off just with a bit of yourself before we get into the first round of Super Rugby. Your coaching stint with Tonga, you finished up, mate. You look back on your 7 years. What did it mean for yourself to lead the Tonga national team?
Yeah, it's always hard to leave a team that's been such a big part of not only my life but my development. You know, I had the role for 7 years. I think I've aged 30. My grey hair is starting to be weeded out now. So, look, I'm going to miss it, but it's the right time for me to move on. I love coaching, and honestly, the last 7 years has taught me so much. I'm a much better coach, much better person, and I've really been able to connect with my culture over the last 7 years, which I probably wouldn't have done before.
What is next with your coaching journey?
Well, I've got a young fella. He's got three more years left in school, so I need to hang around Brisbane. My wife said that I need to stay put. I can't travel, so I've got a heap of coach education stuff for the local footy clubs that I'm doing for Brisbane Junior Rugby Union. There's a couple of academies that I help with. I'm helping my old club, which I'm loving at the moment, and I'm also helping my brother at one of the GPS schools.
Oh, yep. Sound like my mate over here with a few different hats.
Well, you learn from the best here, mate. The king of Japan, this guy, absolute legend. Mate, the rise of the Pacific in rugby union at the moment, we're seeing Samoa, Fiji, Tonga, you know, they are pushing the big teams the distance now. Obviously, there's still a lot of improvement to go, but how have you seen it, and where do you think the improvement needs to happen more so they can actually go the distance?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think the player talent pool is unbelievable, and it's unmatched. We can match it with the world and the top teams. I think the organisation behind the teams, administration and governance is probably an area that we need to improve on. Even myself encountering some issues just with the Kalitahi, I think in terms of competence and just new practices, just keeping up to date with all that kind of stuff around admin and governance. That's probably a big work on for a lot of the Pacific nations. And Fiji, to tell you the truth, honestly, they're leading the way in that department.
What do you think about the Pacifica representation in world rugby at the moment?
Oh, look, I think it's awesome. You know, we've got two teams in Super Rugby. We've got players representing the top teams in Europe, not only internationally, but throughout the top teams at club level, top 14, and even throughout the Premiership. So, there's a lot of Polynesian representatives everywhere, and not only on the field, but off the field as well.
Yeah, speaking of off the field ones, what about who are they looking at the moment to probably take your role as Tongan coach? As you said, you had it for 7 years, and there's some good Tongan coaches coming up. But is there anyone that you think would suit that role?
Yeah, I think there's some wonderful Tongan coaches now, more so now than there were probably 5 to 8 years ago. Paulie Tiamapiau, the Waratahs forwards coach, I rate him highly, really good man manager, knows his stuff. He's been around high performance for a while now. He could slip into that role quite easily. There's a couple of coaches in New Zealand. You know, there's Nili Latu's chipping away at Moana. So, yeah, there's a host of them. Who's a young fella that had North Harbour?
Oh, Daniel Halangahu.
Yeah, Daniel. Yeah. He's a wonderful coach. Mark Gerard's doing some good stuff in Sydney rugby, I've heard as well. So there's a host of them there available to us.
Just with your – I know we talked about coaching, but – was there ever a serious thought about playing for the Kalitahi?
At the time, no. But I look back now, I wish I did. So I finished my career in Japan. I spent 6 years there as a player, then 6 years as a coach. During those 6 years as a player, I would have loved to have represented the Kalitahi. I think would have been wonderful for a lot of personal reasons. But unfortunately, I was probably too busy with a young family and trying to stay on the field for my Japanese club. My last couple of years with Kubota, I was quite injury riddled. I wish, but it didn't come to fruition.
Was it hard for yourself? Well, hang on. Obviously, you're the Kefu last name. Everyone knows you in Tonga, like you're a legend and king of the game of rugby union. Was it hard for yourself to go into a Tongan environment and probably have to take a back seat a little bit to learn more about the culture and understand that? Was it hard to do that? Because I'm assuming you would have wanted to have just really ripped right in, but understanding that a little bit more, was that hard for yourself?
It was hard. And you know, when you grow up in Australia, you're kind of growing up in between two cultures. You're not really Australian and you're not really Tongan. So you're caught in the middle there. But my father played for Tonga, and that made it really easy for me. And he had a bit of a persona, and he was well known in Tonga. So that allowed me a little bit of leeway. But look, I think, you know, speaking the language really helps. And I wasn't proficient in the Tongan language, but I could get by. But I learned so much when I had my tenure as head coach, and that's so crucial and vital. If I had my time again, I would nail that language down the first time, and probably spend a lot more time in Tonga. I think during my coaching career, I was only there probably a month for the whole year, purely because all my players were overseas. I only had a couple of staff in Tonga.
Yeah, nice, mate. I'm probably like myself, Japanese is better than our Tongan. But let's move over to, you know, Super Rugby kicks off. We'll talk about one of the star players, I guess, for the Fijian Drua, their number 10, who's just been given the starting role, Isaiah Armstrong-Ravula, Samoan, Tongan and Fijian heritage. Mate, what have you made of the rise of this young kid?
Yeah, this guy's, to tell you the truth, I didn't know much about him until you mentioned him, so I did a little bit of research, and he's actually grew up in Ipswich, which is 30 minutes just out of Brisbane, which is a real hub and nursery for rugby league players.
Yeah.
So I think originally he was a league player, and then he finished his schooling in New Zealand. I think it was in Christchurch.
Yeah.
And from what I've seen, he's under 20s. He made the world team after the tournament. And even some of his trial form for the Drua has been unbelievable. I don't think he's even 20 yet.
No, he's still 19, yep.
Wow, really looking for him to perform. You know, Mick Burns picked him to start this week, so really looking for him to perform. But he's got the world, on his plate at the moment. I really can't wait to see what he does this year.
Well, speaking of the Fijian Drua, how do you think they'll go this season?
Oh, look, I think they really need to take a step forward. I love watching them play. They play the way they grew up, the offloads and continuity. They'll run it from everywhere, which is absolutely fantastic. Yeah, and that's who they are, which is awesome. You know, that's their identity. So it's good that they haven't gone away from that. They haven't gotten too structured. So I'm really looking. They really need to take a step. I thought they were awesome last year. Really breakout year for them last year, but you know, if they want to keep performing well and taking the next step, they probably need to make the finals this year.
Yeah, I think you're not wrong. I think a big step towards that is winning those away games. They're really good at home, but finding those away wins will be crucial for pushing for further honours. Moana Pacifica, they have the Highlanders this week. 10 new faces in their match day 23. Obviously, another legend coaching them, Tana Umanga. Yeah, you've coached a couple of those boys that in the Tongan team. What are you going to make of Moana Pacifica this year?
Yeah, I think, look, from all reports, there's a few injuries, and a couple of them, actually, some Tongan players who probably should have started. Sione Talituli, who's come over from the Crusaders, he was unbelievable for us at the World Cup. To tell you the truth, he probably should have been playing for the All Blacks. He's won three titles with the Crusaders. So he's out injured, which is a big loss for them. Simisi Pai, another back rower, who probably would have started, he's out. Solomone Funaki, who I thought had a fantastic year last year, he's out injured as well. So I think it's going to be a tough start for them. I'm really looking forward to William Havili. They've got him at 5'8", which is awesome for him. He was he played fullback last year. And we didn't have any 5'8 for the Kalitahi campaign last year, so we put him in at 5'8, did a really good job for us and really can play anywhere in the back line, really good utility. Really looking forward to see how he goes this year. I think the best footy's in front of William Havili. He's a bit of an X factor.
Well, you know what they say, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. So let's hope the Wanna Pacifica get off to a good start but a better finish. Looking at this season, you know, round one about to kick off, who are you tipping to be at the number one spot at the end of the year?
Well, I'm hoping my Reds team...
They are looking good.
They've got a new coaching group, so, you know, hopefully Les Kiss can bring something new. Look, I think there's a lot of changes in all the teams. Crusaders, I'm not too sure what's going to happen there, to tell you the truth. New coaching group. I know Rob Penny quite well from my Japan days, but I think probably Auckland would be the pick of the New Zealand teams, do you think, guys?
Yeah, well, you're not wrong about Rob Penny stepping in there. Those some big shoes to fill. What's that, seven in a row Razor had before moving into the All Blacks coaching gig? So he comes in there, and he was obviously at the Tars during 2021, and they had that sort of tough season with him, so some big shoes for him. But Auckland, they're always rocks or diamonds, aren't they, Kev? You don't know what you're going to get. You feel like they're going to absolutely kill the season, then all of a sudden it turns to rocks, but hopefully they do all right. But you mentioned some of the changes in the Australian setup. Like, what have you made of Australian rugby so far with the with what's happening with the Melbourne Rebels, even the Wallabies? You know, a past player who's lived and breathed and gave so much to the game here in Oz. Like, how does that sit with you? What's happening?
Is there any positive signs, and can you cheer my mate up over here that's been crying for the last 6 months?
I'm trying my best here to promote the game as much as I can, but it's so hard.
Oh, look, it was when I was at the World Cup, I hung around after the pool stages last year, and it was tough when the Wallabies got knocked out and you're hanging around ex-players from New Zealand and South Africa, and they're all giving you a bit of banter about your team being knocked out. At the end of it, I didn't really enjoy it. But look, I think with all the troubles that Rebels are having, and there's a new setup in Queensland, and I heard that the Brumbies aren't looking too good financially as well. We've got two big moments coming up. We've got the Lions next year, and the World Cup's not too far away. We're at a bit of a crossroads. We really need to execute and convert over the next 2 to 4 years, because the game, everywhere in the world, the game's flourishing, probably except Australia. So as an ex-player, it's really, really disappointing to go from where we used to be in the world, number one, quite consistently, to where we are now. Is really disappointing from an ex-player's point of view.
Yeah, well said, Kev, and I'm sure there's got to be some coaching opportunities here in Australia for yourself at some point, because you'd add a lot of value to any team until your wife actually let you out of the house in Brisbane. You have been away for a long time. But
I run the show at home. You know. We all run the show at home until they turn up.
Are you in the garage or the washroom?
It's in the doghouse.
Keep it down. She doesn't know I'm in here.
Nah, beautiful, Kev. On that note, mate, we really appreciate your time, and we look forward to every Friday hearing your insights. And we just can't wait to rip in, week out.
Awesome. Can't wait, guys. Thanks for the opportunity.
This is Nation Footy.
Hey, look, we're going to have a bit of fun here. Our good mate, Joseph Polo, Sefa Polo, he has kindly given up his time to add a special edition for Nation Footy, and we wanted to keep learning and keep things competitive, as you mentioned at the top of the show. So we roped in the smartest bloke we know.
Professor
Polo. Oh, Professor Polo, sorry. The prof. Professor.
He is going to be sending through a question, and the first to answer it out of us two wins that round.
Oh,
and it will just go on
just one and done.
Every Friday. Yep, every Friday he'll come in with a question. It could be a who am I, where am I, what am I.
Okay.
We'll keep a score throughout the year, and the loser has to buy lunch for the winner and producer Declan.
Shh, quiet, boys and girls. It's Professor Paulo.
I thought it was your Cook Island conch at the start, the blowing the horn, but what about the prof coming in like that?
Hey, old Sefa, he was once a Wiggle. The captain of USA.
Captain America.
And now he's a professor.
Now he's the prof. Yeah, well, here we go. The rules are simple. Your name is your buzzer. So we shout out.
T.
T. Sam. You get one guess. If you're wrong, the other person has right of reply and with the chance to win.
Round one. Let's go.
Welcome, boys, to the first segment of Professor Paulo. I will do my best to bring a question every week to test your knowledge on all things Nijon.
Must be nighttime, Nick.
I know you boys love your rugby league. I know you know a lot about rugby union, but my first question for the week is, it's been doing the rounds on social media when a player rang his parents about his new contract with the AFL team. For 2 points, please tell me what's the player's name and what AFL club was he recruited to?
Oh.
T. Oh. Go on, T.
All right, I'm going to go with Richmond Hawks.
Richmond Hawks. Yeah, that's a great team.
No, Hawthorn Hawks. No, Richmond Hawthorn Hawks. I don't know his name, but I remember I did see the video clip.
I want to say, is it Hawthorn? I'm going to go, I got no idea who it is, but I want to say it's North Melbourne. The Kangaroos.
Nah.
The answer to that question is the Richmond Tigers, and the player's name, who is Samoan Makoti Lafau.
Oh, it's close, Richmond.
Lunch is going to be safe because it's going to be nil all.
Nah, it just means we have to pay more attention to social
Seth,
media.
Seth, no one watches AFL. It's Nijon footy, rugby league, rugby union.
It was actually a cool moment where he shared it with his mother.
Beautiful, but I'm off it. We're league and union.
Half a point if you can tell me his name.
I forgot already.
All right, this segment's going to be great. On to the next.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
All right, Sammy, to wrap up the show on Fridays, we're going to do a Nijon footy tipping comp, but we're not going to go through 15, 20 games of the NRL and the Super Rugby. We're going to do a knockout tipping comp where you get to pick one team, I'll pick one team. If that team loses, you're out. But it has to be a different team every week.
So we can't choose the Crusaders every week because they're obviously going to be the favourites. So I get one chance to choose them and that's it.
You don't get to use them again until you've used all the other teams in the Super Rugby or NRL.
Okay, sweet. You're going to give us one chance?
No chances. Straight in.
Oi, all right, so no league this week because it's only the Challenge Cup.
Yeah,
so we'll leave that.
Stick to Super Rugby.
Super Rugby, who are you going?
I'm going Queensland Reds to beat the New South Wales Waratahs. Oh,
mate, that's a safe bet, that one.
Oh, go on then.
I'm going to go a bit more out there. I think the Melbourne Rebels will beat the Brumbies.
The Melbourne Rebels, who are struggling internally, will beat the ACT Brumbies.
My prediction is they'll come out the gate fast because of the emotion's there, and then they'll fizzle halfway through the season once the weight gets too heavy.
Or they'll fizzle at half time because fatigue from all the stress.
Either way, they're winning round one and I'll be safe. So that's us, T. That's us for today for our first ever Friday edition of Nijon Footy. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to Sulla and Thorthay. Remember, you can listen anytime to previous episodes or chats with some of your favourite Pacifica athletes wherever you get your podcast.
See you on Monday. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.